Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
Happy Saturday and welcome to The Sports Page on Next Gen Media. I'm Ashton, sitting here with Chris. Chris, last week we had talked about, the show was about college football, and we talked about bowl games and and the playoff, and I know we mentioned it briefly about the playoff expanding and possible ways that would happen, and we just found out this week that college football is in fact expanding, and the committee wants to expand it to 12 teams, and they want this by next season. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, if it doesn't happen by next season, we'll have to wait until 2025. I think it's something to do with TV rights and deals and things, things of that nature. So, but no, it's really interesting. Good timing for us that we had a show about this just last week, and now it looks like it's expanding right now.
Yeah, it's you know, that's amazing for, you know, the non-power fives. That's great news, because you know and like coming from a small school, you know, not like in like the playoff or anything, but like, you know, you always want that opportunity to go against, you know, the top teams, and, you know, given teams like, you know, like the small schools like Cincinnati, which is a pretty big school, you know, they're usually pretty successful in football, but, you know, giving them an opportunity, Wake Forest, you know, that hopefully, you know, they're, if they get it done by next year, you know, they'll probably still have some, like, the same team relatively going into next year. You know, it gives them an opportunity to go against the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, and that's all, you know, smaller schools want, is an opportunity to fight for the championship.
Yeah, because like we had mentioned, the way the playoff is set now, that there are teams that go on these great runs, and they don't want any part of the playoff as it's set now, because they're just going to go get their butt kicked. They'd like that mystery, kind of like we said, UCF had that undefeated season, and they just called themselves co-national champions, kind of as a joke. But if you expand it to those teams, I feel like, or to the 12 teams, I feel like, probably excluding Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati's a little bit better. I'm not considering them the same as Coastal Carolina. You know, I think they're more like what we saw in Boise State, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think they can compete, but there's a chance for them to win one or two games in the playoff and actually show that they belong, and they don't even have to win the national championship. Because the way it's set now, there's four teams. You make it in there, you're probably, you know, there's such a distance from the one and two to three through six. Typically, you know, your Alabama and Clemson's for the past few years, it's like it's you know who one and two is. It's what the rest are going to be. And, mm-hmm. and now with 12, the way I at least the opportunity for it to be the way I think it should be, having whatever conference is included, where you have an automatic bid for winning your conference, and the sort of like March Madness, but, you know, you have to limit it down to, yeah, I don't know how many conferences are in,
FBS.
FBS. Yeah. I want to say CFB for some. I had a couple letters, right? Yeah. The FBS. I don't know if you want to limit it to Power Five conferences, or there's so much realignment, maybe they can make it work. But you have 12 teams. I know there's not that many conferences. You know, just give automatic bids to you know, whoever wins the Big 12 or the Pac 12, they have a fighter's chance of doing damage, because, you know, they're a prominent program more than likely. Mm-hmm. And they've beaten some teams, so I don't know if they're just going to do it 1 through 12 or how it's going to work, but there's still going to be some issues. You're gonna have that 13 through 15 ranked teams complaining that they should be in. You're going to have teams that don't want to be, you know, they're in the playoff, but they don't want to be ranked 12th because they're playing Alabama or whoever. You know, there's going to be a difference in being ranked 12th and 9th because of who you match up against and what side of the bracket you're on and things like that. But, you know, it's always an interesting discussion.
And I looked it up. It's 10 conferences, and then not including like the independents, so you know, like Notre Dame or something like that. So it'll be 10 conferences, and you know, I guess give them all the automatic bid, maybe, and then what, 2 at large bids, maybe.
I think that might be too many to do automatic bids. I mean, they could just say, hey, the Power 5 conferences get the automatic bids.
Right.
If you wanted to do that, maybe that goes to where we thought the conferences were going a few years ago, where all the smaller conferences are going to be gone and you're just going to have 4 or 5 mega 16-team conferences. Not sure, but yeah, I think 10 would probably be too much because I couldn't even, you know, I know there's like the Southland Conference and the WAC, and those probably don't need automatic bids, but you would have teams that would leave those smaller conferences and go to the bigger conference, and that's really what it is. That's why there's not so much controversy around the March Madness tournament, because everybody's pretty much included. If you're not getting in and out as an at-large, with an at-large bid, it's hard to make the argument that you even have a chance to do anything.
Right.
But they include absolutely everybody, every conference, but you have 60-some-odd, I think 68 spots in the tournament, so you can afford to do that. But I think it would be a little more exciting that way. I mean, even if you just said, yeah, we're going to take the top 1 through 12, you're pretty much including most of the conference champions.
Yeah,
at least of the Power 5 conferences. But I think it'd be more interesting that way, just to get automatic bids. So you have maybe an unranked team somehow gets on a streak and makes it to you know, the Pac-12 championship or the Big 12 championship and just wins. And they're able to make the tournament that way. I think that would be pretty interesting, a little more intrigue to it. But I'm not sure. It seems pretty quick. I guess they'll decide if they're able to get it done next year before they come out with the format.
Yeah, I think it's a little too quick. I wouldn't bet on it because, you know, it's a lot of money in this, you know, in that business, and they want to make the most out of it. They want to get the most money out of the TV deals and, you know, naming rights and stuff like that for, you know, whatever. So also getting like the bowls, which, I mean, they have the New Year's Six, so they probably just go with that. But
They mentioned it before that if something like this happened, they wouldn't add any games. They would just use existing bowl games.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have the New Year's Six would probably be more like the semifinals. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks before, you would just use sort of prominent, you know, off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Like the 12
teams. So you have one. So two get out large, or no, it'd be 4 that get bye weeks. So you'd have 8. So that'd be 4 games.
Okay. The top
move into with the 12 team format, correct? Yeah. Cause you couldn't do it with 2. So you have 4 games, 4 games. 2 games, 1 game. So 8, 9, 10, you have 11 games. Quick math at the top of my head, roughly 11 games. So you could find 11 bowl games.
Definitely.
Bowl games, but yeah,
yeah,
you would have to get some bowl games would definitely be a step up for them because I couldn't, you know, it would be a stretch to name the top 11 bowl games. I could name the top 5 or 6, and then I'm sure there'd be a rotation where the Cotton Bowl would get screwed and have, you know, one of the first round, the quarterfinals, whatever they call it, whatever the first round would be, you have if the Cotton Bowl would ever get stuck with that, obviously they don't want that.
Right.
But other games, you know.
Because the Cotton Bowl this year is a semifinal game.
Yeah.
So. I mean, they would probably have to add in like the Outback Bowl or something like that. Yeah. Maybe even the Texas Bowl. But I feel like there's enough. You know, they got the Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl, Fiesta.
But the those bowls would get better. Like, I can't tell you right now who sponsors the Texas Bowl. Because it changes so often.
I want to say
the Alamo Bowl is the Valero Alamo Bowl, it may not be still be that. But if you get those involved, just like, I have no clue if the Alamo Bowl is even, you know, they would even think about having that as one of the playoff bowl games. Right. But if they had a game like that, you would have to think they would get a better sponsor.
Definitely. Yeah. Because they're going to, yeah. Company's gonna be all over this. This is gonna be like, okay, now we're gonna have a ball game with more eyes on it. Let's get our name on it. Valero's not huge, so you know.
Yeah, it's more of a. I'm sure there's Valeros other than just Texas, but Valero's based in Texas, so it's mostly a Texas company. Right. But I'm sure once they get it all finalized, it'll always be the same bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
To me, anyways, I'm not a strong, you know, I'm not a financial guru or anything, or anything about sports and business in general, but it would make sense that you would build the legacy and intrigue of these other bowl games by always having them in the playoff and just rotating what round they're in and this and that. So you would think, you know, long term they would attract better sponsors with better, because they'd have better teams and more people would watch them, because it wouldn't be a pointless bowl game. You know, exactly. Outside of the New Year's Six, I don't think any other bowl games are really watched unless your team is in them. Like, I'll just have the Cotton Bowl on and I'll kind of watch the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they're always good teams, and the Orange Bowl, even if they have anything to do with the college football playoff.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we mentioned, you know, what bowl game? The Dollar General Bowl.
Yeah, I'm looking at the bowl games now, and it's there. I think they've like even added like two bowl games. You know, the Gasparilla Bowl. Like, I don't even know what that is.
See, that might somehow end up on my TV, because, like I said, it's kind of a seasonal deal. It's holidays, and you know, I just have games on. That might somehow end up on my TV. But
yeah, Western
general,
Michigan versus Miami's projected.
You say that. I've watched two Western Michigan games this year.
Yeah, I think I've seen one, maybe.
They're like in the MAC conference, because the MAC the MAC conference has done a good job with having games during the week. They have like random Tuesday games and Thursday games that I'm like, hey, this is on. It's college football. There's no competition, so I'm going to watch it. The actual fans of those teams may not like it because Saturday your team's not playing, but no, I watched Michigan, Central Michigan and Western Michigan, which was a really decent game. I know there was like two back-to-back punt returns, and I think it was Central Michigan came from behind. Like, it was actually a good game, and Western Michigan was just on the other day. I just think that's funny you mentioned that, and I've watched Western Michigan games, and in general, if it's Western Michigan and whoever, nobody really cares about that bowl unless you're a fan of Western Michigan. Or maybe I guess I will probably watch the Alamo Bowl or the Texas Bowl just because we're in Texas.
Right.
And there are going to be teams that might pique my interest. But I guess if you're in Michigan, Western Michigan's more of a prolific team than – in Michigan than any other state. You know, it's probably like to the same extent Baylor.
It's probably like a SMU, TCU.
Yeah, maybe SMU. I mean, Baylor and TCU are in the Big 12 and have had success recently.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not big schools. I don't know. SMU probably just because of the whole Pony Express era. And not having a football team for a couple of years, they're a little more well-known. Maybe like a Central Florida isn't, you know, not as big, except if you're in that area.
Right, yeah.
So I think it's good for college football. People think it's trying to water down, but hey, y'all all watch it in the big dance with 68 teams. It was down 64 teams a few years ago, and nobody complains about that chaos. They love it. So I think people just in general don't like change so quickly like this, because you go from not really having a system back in the day to a BCS system, which was flawed, then the college football playoff system for four teams. And, within the last 25 years, this will be like the fourth different way you try to figure out a national champion. And I can get that. It takes away from it a little bit when you change too much. But, I think this is going to be good for college football whenever it happens, yeah. So the next season or a few years down the road.
Yeah, and I feel like it being down the road, I feel like they'll kind of tie it, the loose ends, and it'll be a really good thing. So, yeah, I'm excited.
It's college football. You pair up any decent teams in a tournament, no matter if you're going to have mistakes and little oddities, people are going to watch, especially meaningful playoff games. Also happening, we have the Cowboys coming up, playing the Chiefs tomorrow, and really – It's kind of odd, because in general, if we were to, we're not having our show next week. I'm going to be out of town for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But if we were to have our show next week, we would have two Cowboys games before we had our next show.
Yeah.
But what's really, we're only missing 1 week, but because the Cowboys have started playing the Thursday night football game after Thanksgiving, there's going to be three Cowboys games before our next show. Next time you hear an episode of the Sports Page, there's going to be a lot to discuss.
We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's going to be really clear that either the Cowboys are contenders, they're working their way, or maybe it's completely blown up and the Cowboys are, 7-2 now? They could be, that's actually not bad. Let's assume they lose the next
7-5, yeah. So that's not bad.
I mean, if you told me they'd be 7-5 at the beginning of the year, I'd be like, okay, that's not terrible. Right. But, back it up, slow it down. They're playing the Chiefs. Yeah, they're going to be playing the Chiefs, which seems like the more difficult of the three. They're playing, and the Chiefs kind of have a similar year as the Cowboys. You don't know what to make of it. Like, although the Cowboys only had one game against the Broncos, every other game you can argue has been spotted. They've either blown out a team, they played really good teams, they played some bad teams. They barely lost to the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers. It's a situation where you're pretty sure you know what this team is. I'm confident that the Cowboys can go beat the Chiefs. I'm not worried about that. It's just what team's going to show up. I'm pretty confident, because I think they were just a little overconfident going against the Broncos. They didn't really come out and admit it, but Dak kind of came out and said in the press conference that next week you're not going to have overconfident players. He kind of alluded to it a little bit going into the Falcons game, thinking, okay, they learned their lesson. And I kind of mentioned it the week before they played the Broncos. That we're waiting for a game like this, and you want a game like that to happen, because you don't want, sometimes you just need to be, get a good knock in the jaw to say, okay, what the hell is going on? You just keep winning and winning, and sometimes you lose track of really what's happening, and you start taking shortcuts and getting overconfident. So this might be, that might have been a good thing, the way they came out next week and played the Falcons, and hopefully they have that same mentality going against the Chiefs, who are coming off a really good win against the Raiders, blowing them out by 30 points.
Yeah, that was a big time win. They're all of a sudden they're all the way back in the top 10 of everybody's power rankings. Are like, oh, the Chiefs are back, and I think this is like a big game, especially for both teams, because if the Chiefs win, then, they're back in Super Bowl talks. If the Cowboys win, they'll probably be called like the best team in the NFL. So, this is definitely a big game for both of them.
Yeah. And Rightfully so. I mean, the Chiefs are still up there. They've had some ugly games, but if you look at who they lost against, they haven't lost against a bad team. Right. They lost against the Chargers. They lost against the Titans. They lost against the Bills. Now, those were ugly losses, and Pat Mahomes is definitely not playing like his old self. He has a lot of turnovers. Mm-hmm. Even in this last game, he had a couple of turnovers, even though he had a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it's hard to say because they've had two really good years. They've won the Super Bowl, then they made it back to the Super Bowl. And I don't know, I don't take too much stock in what teams do early in the season. When you look at a team or a franchise like the Patriots, because that happens every year for the Patriots, they'll kind of start off slow. They may not lose a lot of games, but they're kind of playing off and you're like, okay, are the Patriots done this year? And then they, you know, outside last year, obviously, but then they'll get things together like they did have this year. And then you're like, okay, that's how it's supposed to be done. I'm not too worried because the Patriots have set a precedence for it. So that's kind of worries me. I do think the Cowboys are the better overall team.
Yeah, me too.
It's hard to say, you know, you're missing Gregory, you're missing Tank. Now you're missing Amari Cooper, who is put on the COVID-19 list, test positive for COVID, which is a terrible time because they turn around and play Thanksgiving 5 days later. So it's unclear if Amari Cooper is going to even be able to play against the Raiders.
Yeah, he's confirmed out for 2 games. You know, at least that's what ESPN was saying. And
I guess it depends on his vaccination status. And if he can get 2 negative tests before now and Thanksgiving, but
and that's tough. Like he's, you know, obviously, I mean, I go back and forth between him and CeeDee as the best receiver on the team, but I mean, he's, you know, one of the best route runners in the league, and going against the Chiefs, who are one of the worst defenses in the NFL, you know, you would really want a guy like that on the field, but it's like, you know, it's just bad timing for all these injuries and or, you know, COVID things or whatever. So it's like, you know, hopefully we'll see CeeDee step up and, you know, kind of show why he can be a number one receiver, which I fully believe he can. You know, they got the receivers to do it, you know.
Yeah, Michael Gallup's back. And
yeah, Michael Gallup.
You didn't really miss him that much.
Right.
And no, this may be a good thing. And I was thinking when they benched Dak against the Vikings, thinking they're so far ahead, Dak could have played that game. If it was a situation where it was a playoff game or they were playing a game to go to the playoffs, he would have been in there. Mm-hmm. But they have a big lead in the NFC East. They thought, okay, let's just nip this in the bud and get him healed. This could be a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys. Hopefully it doesn't cost them any games. But Cooper's been beat up. He even told us for the Broncos game that, you know, they could barely even walk before the game. They, you know, maybe this gets him healed. Hopefully it doesn't cost them any games. But the Cowboys are making the playoffs. I know the Eagles have a very, very easy schedule the rest of the way. But just look at what Vegas is doing. Vegas seems to know everything. They knew Dak was out before Dak was out.
For the Vikings, yeah.
Yeah, and you can't even bet on if the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. They took it off the board because there's a 99% chance that the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. Now, of course, you want to get up there. You want the bye week, but being in that number 2 seed, that guarantees you a second home playoff game if you move on. You obviously, before this week, you would think, I don't want to play whoever the first wild card team is. If you get the 4th seed, you're playing what looks like to be either the Rams or the Cardinals, and you're like, you don't want to play those teams in the first round. Although the Rams are kind of looking like, okay, we could take that team. But obviously you want to try to, you know, win as many games as you can and get at least that number 2 seed, just be, you know, there's so many extra benefits with that, and you play the worst wild card team. But yeah. I'm all for this because it always seems that Amari doesn't miss a lot of games, but he is hurt a lot.
Yeah. And you can maybe, yeah, maybe he'll get, you know, this week he'll get a little, you know, some rest. Because, he's been playing with ribs, ankle, everything. And, you know, obviously you want him on the field. And
you're supposed to play three games in 12
exactly,
days.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this may be, like, down the line, this may be good because, you know, what are the Cowboys at, what, four games up in the East? So, I mean, they're not really too worried about who's behind them at this point. I feel like if they get through this three-game span, you know, like 2-1, I'd be like, okay, you know, that's you know, they're really good. That'll put them at 9-3, you know, coming out of it. So, I guess we'll see. Like, hopefully he'll get some rest and rest whatever's hurting him, which is probably everything. So,
yeah, and I mean, you're just looking towards the future. You're still going to get Gregory back in a few weeks. Tank's right. Coming back soon. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of players that they've been having so much success and you forget about them. It's almost like they're making a trade and getting more players and more help in. Mm-hmm. So there's help down the road. You just have to stay healthy, maintain momentum and the right mentality going into the playoffs. And yeah. You're looking, I mean, it's a good feeling knowing that the four seed is probably the worst case scenario. I mean, yeah. Outside of it, doesn't even have to be Philadelphia basically winning out. It's on top of that, the Cowboys would just have to implode because the Cowboys don't necessarily have a hard schedule outside the Cardinals and the Chiefs. Three, Cardinals and the Chiefs. The Raiders, who knows? It looks like they're starting to implode. They had a couple of good games because, I mean, you have. Coach like getting fired and okay,
the post-game stuff.
Yeah, and now everything, all the dust is starting to settle, and they're just kind of, you know, starting to implode. And this has been the Raiders for the last couple of years. They start off really mm-hmm. well, and they go down. You have the Saints, who Trevor Siemian's their quarterback. You have football.
Yeah, they haven't won a game since Jameis.
Yep.
And you know, they're on two game losing streak. So, I mean,
you have the Giants again, you have the Eagles again, you have Washington football team twice. So, yeah. This would have to be an epic implosion for the Cowboys to let the Eagles back into this. The league sets it up this way, but they play on the last game of the year, the regular mm-hmm. season. So, what kind of crap would that be if the Eagles eliminate the Cowboys, and oh my gosh, that'd be terrible. But
I'd be sick to my stomach, like that. I didn't even think about anything like that. And that's, you know, that's kind of, and as a Cowboys fan, like that's kind of something that could happen in the like, you know, they're having a good season, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, maybe, you know, like I'm like we'll see. You know, we'll see.
It's what I hear from a lot of Cowboys fans is that we're very, very confident about the Chiefs game, and that's why we're worried. I'm worried. Right. I'm like, man, not that my confidence affects the game, but the fact that I have so much confidence against the Chiefs, who at the beginning of the year, we're like, okay, going through the schedule, the Bucs is a loss, the Chiefs is a loss. What other games can we win? And, it's like the Chiefs, although last week they just, you know, blew out the Raiders, so it's hard to tell, but I just feel something different with this team, and it feels uncomfortable to be this confident about them.
Like you said before, when I was looking at the schedule before the season, I already, you know, I looked, I was like, okay, it's an Arrowhead, yeah, that's a loss, and I just, you know, automatically assumed, because I have Patrick Mahomes on such a high like pedestal, you know, I just was that's a loss. And, you know, obviously I wasn't too sure about the Cowboys defense because of coming off, you know, a record breaking worst defense, you know, from last year. So, but I don't know, like that. I'm pretty confident, you know, I have a lot of Chiefs fans as friends, and I'm pretty confident. I'm, you know, talking trash all week. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, hopefully they can then help back it up for me, you know, because I'm actually really confident. I'm kind of like, it's kind of weird having this feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Vegas being right so often, you know, if you're, into gambling, and you mm-hmm. know, I would stay away from the Cowboys in general because you don't know what you get, and Vegas always tries because the Cowboys are so popular, they try to over what do you call it when they pick the spread for the Cowboys and over unders, they try to go a little bit higher up because they think people will they try to exaggerate it so people will place more bets because they know they will for the Cowboys.
So oh, definitely.
I hope you stay away from the Cowboys if you're into sports gambling. But mm-hmm. sometimes if you know, if you sometimes struggle to find cappers to follow consistent picks that are profitable, you need to try Cappers Collective. It's a free sports gambling newsletter and it's delivered to your inbox every Thursday morning. Find the most important sports gambling trends, insights, and the most profitable cappers to follow in this weekly newsletter. It's free. I said it was free. Just go to cappers-collective.com to subscribe. And then every Thursday morning, without fail, because I'm subscribed to it, you'll get that email in your inbox. That's cappers-collective. So make sure we'll have the link in the description box just so you get that email right. Don't miss this opportunity to deepen your wallet today. So moving forward, I was thinking about doing an Idiot of the Week segment, bringing that back. We have Antonio Brown, which we'll get into in a second. And I thought about putting this other guy in there, but this we try to be fun with picking the Idiot of the Week.
Right.
Whether it's sports or not, I don't even want to give this guy the light of day around my segment. I don't want, because he would obviously win. And, you know, I don't want to put the comedic presence that I like to do in this segment around this because it's just disgusting. Mm-hmm. If you haven't read about, or I'm sure maybe you haven't read, but I'm sure you've seen the video. Everyone's seen the video. This is disturbing. Zach Stacy, former NFL football player, right? Not very popular. He was only in the league for a few years.
Yeah, they were calling him NFL star, and he wasn't.
Yeah, but, no, they like to. The local here in Dallas Fort Worth, the local news station shared it on their Facebook, and I was reading some of the comments, and people thought he played for the Cowboys because the news station was sharing it.
Right,
and I'm like, he didn't play, unless I missed something. I don't think he played for the Cowboys.
I remember him with the Rams.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's about it. Like, we kind of knew who he was, but
yeah, barely. Like, you know, just because I know, like, sometimes I just know random players, and he was one of those random players. But
He has been arrested. He was on the run because I don't even know the whole story of who gave the video out. My wife thought it was like security video footage, but I'm like, the angles are different. I think his wife or girlfriend, whoever it was, might have set it up, but
yeah, she probably knew it was coming or something like that. Maybe
that's what I was gonna bring up, because obviously the videos of him beating her, and you can tell her reaction that she's dealt with this before.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The first time you hit her, you're kind of like, oh, okay, wow. And then he throws her against the TV and the TV falls on her, and that's And to make it worse, there was it. I don't know how old the baby was, but only a few months old. Their baby was
five months old.
The baby was there watching the whole thing. It's got to be one of the worst videos I've ever seen. I mean, 100 times worse than the Ray Rice video. You know, not saying Ray Rice's situation wasn't a big deal. That was at the time. That was I thought that was bad, and it still is bad. But it may have been the worst I've seen at that time. And I'm just talking about videos. I'm not saying that this doesn't happen on a regular basis with normal people. It is an issue, but just in terms of what I've seen on video, it's gotta be the worst. And it's kind of a shame that his career was already over, because sometimes you get a sense of, justice when it's over. Like, whatever you think about the John Gruden situation, you can argue, hey, those were private emails, whatever. There's something to be said for that. But all the issues he was going for, you want to see. You don't want to see him resign like he did. You want to see him get fired, you know. And this is a situation where he's going to go to jail. I mean, there is there any situation where he gets anything but prison time in this?
No, I can't see it. I'm really like kind of sensitive to that type of stuff, and like, you know, just the way, you know, he was just hitting her, and he choke slammed her through a baby walker. You know, like it, I was like what, like that's wild.
How resilient was down. She just got right
yeah,
up.
She got right up, and it's like, I don't know if she was used to it or what, but I mean, like, he's a like, and to think, like, you got to think, he is a former NFL running back, so
he's a big dude. Yeah,
he's a strong. He probably bench pressed like 385, 400 pounds, swinging as hard as he can. Like, he's really trying to like knock her out, and it was just like, you know, throwing her like he was just picking her up like. You know, like he was just lifting weights, so he was just picking her up, just slamming her, choke slamming her through a baby walker, and I'm like, wow, like there's no explaining that, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, exactly. And people like to have the conversation, okay, what would have to happen where it'd be okay to hit a woman?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I don't think there is one. I'm not gonna say there's no. I can tell you there's none for me. Right. I'm not going to debate with you that, you know, if somebody spat in your face or whatever.
No, I don't think, like, you know, I've been taught, like, you know, my dad, like, he's the most patient person I know. And he's like a true father, true man. And like, he's always said, you know, never, you know, whatever the circumstance, like, unless there's a gun in your face or something like that. Like,
yeah, like, even, like in defense, know, but no, even, it's gotta like, be like either, your life, not like,
yeah. Yeah, and not even to that extent, though, like not like it doesn't even take all of that, you know, whatever happened. I'm not sure like what happened.
It doesn't matter. That's the point I was getting at. If you want to talk about, well, what do you consider abuse, if pushing and things like, I don't care if she spat on you 5 seconds right before this video started and cursed your mother and cursed everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can get up and walk away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with your child there. That's complete. That's like a whole nother level.
Right.
Having your kid there. The fact that you can't, I mean, not that me and my wife and I ever get in fights that ever get physical, but everybody gets in fights in general, arguments.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes we're like, wait, our kids are here. Let's, you know, and we kind of have passive aggressive stuff that our kids will never catch on, but we just don't fight face to face or argue face to face. It's kind of like making little comments. But there's no situation even in private that this is okay. But that makes it even worse that no matter what she could have done, she could have cheated on you. You could have just figured out she cheated on you with your best friend. Okay.
Right.
Peace out. This is over. That's what happened.
Yeah.
What could possibly anger him? Obviously he has anger issues. I couldn't imagine me doing this to a male friend, let alone
that's
a female.
That's crazy.
Who cares about my big screen TV? I'm throwing you into it. There's obviously right rage there that he needs to get help for.
Yeah, he needs
whether
help.
Steroids are an issue, that could be very possible. With he's made it
CTE,
to the NFL
maybe,
for a
like,
few
like,
years.
Like some type
exactly,
of like CTE
yeah
type, like, and I don't know, like that's like. Even like, I've seen like fights between guys, and like, I feel like that's almost worse than what I've seen. You know, like the craziest fight I've ever, like the craziest fight I've ever seen, like that's like up there, and that's on a woman though.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah, because he hit her first and it was a pretty good shot, and
right
she didn't come at him or anything. So, you're like, okay, let's say you punch another, you're in a fight and you punch a guy and he kind of backs off. You're not grabbing him and throwing him into something unless this is like a serious, you know,
yeah,
somebody's life's in danger. And I did see some, I can't believe somebody put, I know a lot of people think it, but I can't believe somebody commented and put this in words, but they're like trying to be the devil's advocate and say,
yeah,
well, you don't see this video is cut to see what he does. You don't see what she does. And again, I don't care what she did. She, yeah. You know, all you see is her standing there, him hit her, him throw, you know, it doesn't matter what she possibly could have done, especially with her child there. This piece of garbage, you know, his life's over. You know, it's not a situation where, okay, he could be rehabilitated, which he could. I don't know what the issues are, but you're rehabilitated, you're put back in the world, and you just have to find a job that will allow you to have this on your record. But the fact that he ran from the cops, he's like one of the trending stories for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
You apply for a job, people, you know, Google your name and look you up. It's going to be hard for him to find any sort of job. If he ever gets out of prison, I don't know that this is a situation. I'm not really into, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what this constitutes. If you could even get anywhere near life in prison.
For something. I think he probably, you know, maybe it was like, you know, ran out of NFL money. Like the house they were in, the fact that, I mean, it was like a story. It was probably fake, but it said that she stole $500,000. But I'm looking at the place that they're staying, and I'm like, there's no way that she stole $500,000 and staying in that, you know, apartment. You know,
yeah,
and
it's like, didn't look like they were doing great.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And again, okay, I'm not saying she's a good person. She could be a terrible person. She could be, you know, assuming they're not together right
now.
Yeah,
I think that was his ex. That's ex-girlfriend, okay, or whatever.
So let's say she stole money from him, $500,000, whatever he had left over from the NFL. She's doing what a lot of people do and use their child as a situation. If you're not going to give me money, you can't see your child. It happens. That aside, there's nothing that could possibly... obviously, if she had a gun in his face right before that video started, and she was able to crop it where he took the gun and then the video started and then he hit her. Okay, whatever. He grabbed her after the fact, threw her into the TV. Like, you can tell a situation, maybe like I mentioned with steroids. He was in the league for a few years. He may look at that in his head as a failure. Like, he's still probably trying to. He looked like he was in decent shape, I guess, where he was still working out. That's what happens. That's why you look at, why do these guys ruin their career and take steroids? It's because without steroids, they wouldn't even have a career. So maybe it's a situation where he's on steroids. He has anger issues. Yes, maybe they had a very toxic relationship where she's stealing money from him and it all comes up to a head. But, you know, that's a situation. Punch a hole in the wall and leave, you know?
Yeah, but yes. Like, you know, like I would have accepted, and I wouldn't have accepted, but, you know, punch the TV, punch the wall, you know, whatever, like, you know, but like, don't hit the woman, don't involve the child. And, you know, I'm not saying luckily, but like, I mean, the child's 5 months. So, you know, his son or his daughter, they probably won't remember that. But it's just the principle. It's just the principle.
I mean, there's going to be a sense there that they probably...
Yeah, it's just the principle of like, yeah.
They but
it's
understand just the principle in their head, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And you have to imagine that that's not an isolated incident. Like, if he's so comfortable doing that to his wife in front of the child,
kid like that, yeah.
You know, this child's probably doesn't have a good situation going forward.
Right. Because at this point, like, you know, the child's always going to be in court or, you know, or some sort of like battle or, I mean, it won't be in custody battle.
Maybe not. Hopefully the mother.
Hopefully they can get it solved. But
even if some of this stuff is true, hopefully she's, you know, a functioning mother that loves her child and,
right,
you know, they can move past, you know, they can get past this and move forward.
Yeah.
Again, I don't see the point of sharing this and trying to, it has nothing to do with him. I don't think there's anything you could, I say that again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't think there's anything you could put in front of the jury to say, hey, this was justified. Even if he stole money, you know, that's another time, another day. Maybe she should face a jury for that in the future. But right now it doesn't matter, and you shouldn't post anything like that. Even if you don't, even if you're not meaning to defend him, it's a situation where it comes out like you're defending him. You know, posting on social media, there's no emotion there. You know, misinterpret things all the time. You know, that's why I don't mess with politics when you're posting on social media.
Right.
So we have that story going on in the NFL, kind of staying in the NFL, going, well, I guess not in the NFL, but a former NFL player, but staying in the whole realm of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Antonio Brown has been accused of having a fake COVID vaccine card.
Right.
Apparently, one of his former chefs or cooks,
mm-hmm.
I guess, just told him, hey, this dude has a fake COVID card, vaccine card.
Right.
Obviously, he's saying it's BS. He's vaccinated. The Buccaneers came out with a statement, and it looks like they're trying to protect themselves a little bit.
Right.
Saying very bland things, not like we 100% support Antonio Brown and he's vaccinated.
Yeah, like cookie cutter type like, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no, he gave us a vaccine card, and to our knowledge, the best of our ability, we think it's real. So they're kind of protecting themselves there, saying, hey, we did what we can do with our. So if it comes out that he is indeed not vaccinated, you can't get with us. You can't blame us.
Right. Yeah.
But all of this, of course, is alleged. Let's go ahead and preface that.
Yeah. It's kind of, I was, you know, talking with my friend earlier. It's kind of funny because it's, you know, it's Antonio Brown. Like, you know, I just think he's just a funny guy. And I, this is just something that's so like Antonio Brown. Like, it's just something that, you know, a story that would come out about him. I'm not really sure. I heard, you know, like, I read a couple articles, like, allegedly, he wasn't paying his chef, and, you know, this is like kind of like some get back or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the chef had sued him.
Yeah.
He didn't get any money out of him. And then I guess it came out the chef told the story that Antonio Brown approached him about asking if he could. He said he'd pay him $500 to get a fake vaccine card.
Right.
And he said he couldn't, and then he saw vaccine cards are fake. He says fake. I don't know how you tell if it's fake or not, because the Buccaneers couldn't tell, apparently. So how could he?
Right.
Anyways, but he said there were vaccine cards on his kitchen table or whatever. So who knows? In this situation, they're liable to say anything. But it's just, you know, it's just like situation. You're like, of course, this would be Antonio Brown, and nothing may come of it. The NFL might not do anything. They might find out, okay, confirm, yes, he's been vaccinated. But it just kind of adds to that story and that mentality in your head about Antonio Brown. It's like, yeah, it's just a shit show. He's a clown type situation. Again, whether it's true or not. And we talked about Aaron Rodgers, and when you really break it down, Aaron Rodgers really didn't break any rules. He told everybody that he was required to tell that he wasn't vaccinated with the team and the players, and they were aware of it. He, you know, what you want to put about it, him lying to the media, which he did. He says, no, I didn't lie. You lied.
Yeah.
But apparently, up to NFL standards, he did everything he was required to do. I think he's just kind of an anti-vaxxer, or maybe not quite fully on anti-vaxxer, but he's skeptical about it, and he just didn't want to be looked at in that light as that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Cole Beasley, because Cole Beasley's all about it and standing behind his principles, and he's gotten backlash from it. Mm-hmm. But if this turns out to be true, that Antonio Brown has a fake vaccine card, you know, you're talking multi-suspension game, fines. Like, I don't even know how bad the NFL will go at this.
And I feel like they're going to come down a little harder on Antonio Brown because of who he is and his history.
Yeah.
You know, if it is fake, I don't see him getting anything less than like four games and a huge fine. I mean, because it's, you know, it's,
at the end of the day, it is kind of, it's a serious matter. Like, if you're putting, you know, people's lives at stake, as far as like
unknowingly, you know, doing it, like
unknowingly.
No, obviously, yeah. You know, Cole Beasley and a few other players, you know, they're getting their test every week, or, you know, they're going through protocols because they were honest about it. Right. And people know they have the opportunity. Hey, I'm going to limit, if they want to, I'm going to limit my contact with him if as much as I can, being on the same football team.
Right.
And Antonio Brown, if he ends up not, say this is all allegedly, but if he ends up actually not being vaccinated and he's not getting tests and every week or every day or whatever the protocol is right now, I can't imagine. This is, it's unprecedented, obviously, because they were talking about this year as opposed to last year, that if your players cause a spread of COVID in your locker room and you don't have enough players to play,
mm-hmm.
we're not rescheduling anything. It's a forfeit. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Like, I kind of hope it's true just because right. I would like to see what, like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine. I don't know if it'd be a situation where you're banned from the NFL indefinitely for a while. I don't know if it's just, okay, you're suspended this many games, because I don't know if the NFL has protocol for this set in stone.
And I think I'm thinking more of like Tampa Bay might come down harder, because, you know, they made it all through last season without any, you know, any issues with COVID, you know, and, you know, I just feel like they're just going to be like, okay, like, you lied to us, and, you know, we have protocols set, and, you know, we just are trying to, you know, we're trying to stay safe, we're trying to repeat and everything, and you're just here trying to, I guess, not, you know, like, I guess, mess it up or whatever. You know, it's just, it's kind of a weird issue. I guess we got to wait for all the facts to come out, but, you know, it's weird. It's kind of funny, but it's not at the same time. So, you know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and before we get to your power ranking segment, we'll just real quick mention that the Mavericks are going to be retiring the best, as of now, you know, the best Maverick in
the greatest basketball
the greatest player in Dallas Mavericks history, as of now.
NBA
history, yeah. But calm down. I'll give him top 20. Maybe top 10 right now, but.
I put him 15th, I, you know, he's my favorite player. So, yeah.
But he may still be looked at as, you know, when it's all said and done in Luka's career, still the best in Mavericks history, because who knows what Luka does. You know, not every player gives the loyalty that Dirk did playing 21, 22 years for the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, talent-wise, Luka's better. A better player than Dirk.
I was just about to say that.
If he plays, you know, if Luka wins a championship for us and plays, you know, at least 10 years for the franchise, he's more likely going to go down, surpass Dirk in that essence. But right now, Dirk is the best player in Dallas Mavericks history, and he will have his number 41 jersey retired January 5th. It's a game against the Warriors. So if ticket prices hadn't already skyrocketed,
I already looked. They have nosebleeds for $300.
Oh yeah. So, see, I thought about that. Like, would that be cool if I went?
I looked as soon as I saw. I looked, and their nosebleeds are already $300 for where. Like, cause I used to just go to, you know, games and just, you know, cop some nosebleed seats for like $10. And they kind of moved down a little bit because, you know, I could, but. They're $300 a piece, nosebleeds at the highest level. So yeah, it's a little tough, but, you know, he's my favorite athlete of all time. And, you know, I try to put him, you know, I think he's top 15 because, you know, you think about it, you're like, okay, how many NBA players have a Finals MVP, a regular season MVP, and you know, and he's sixth all time or fifth all time in scoring. And I'm, you know, it's he's, I mean, he's, his resume alone kind of puts him at least top 15, but he's definitely the greatest Mavs so far, for sure. But I do think Luka is more talented than him.
Yeah, but, and Luka will, you know, like I said, it just depends how long Luka plays here. It depends if he's ever traded or goes to another team, which is probably more likely than not, because that just happens. Not every player.
Yeah,
you can't hold him up to the standard of Dirk. It just depends how that works out. Is he going to win a championship for us? Is it going to be an ugly situation? Is he going to go play for the Lakers? You know, there's so many factors that go into it. I mean, Luka's going to, number wise, have a better career than Dirk Nowitzki. We'll just throw that, you know, assuming there's no crazy injury. Now, his legacy to the Mavericks is to be seen. I think Dirk will always be my favorite player, just because the age I was watching him play, going through high school all the way, I graduated high school in 2007. So that's like kind of right in the middle of Dirk's peak career, watching him struggle.
Yeah.
People call him soft, and then he wins a championship and he's untouchable in DFW.
Right.
And then obviously he stays for so long. And then you find out later on that he was offered, $90 million contracts by the Lakers. And then he comes back and says, sign your team, Mark, and I'll take whatever's left. And he signs for $5 million contracts. It's just bad that we were only able to get him one championship.
Yeah.
And obviously that's the only championship pro sports championship for my teams that I've ever really experienced. I kind of remember the Cowboys. I remember this when the Stars won. I obviously wasn't watching it at that age. It wasn't like sixth grade or something like that when the Stars won the Stanley Cup, and I had no interest. Like now, I would watch the Stars when they go. I'm a Stars fan, but that's the only championship that I remember and feel. And Dirk's always going to be my favorite player, no matter what. Luka could turn out to be the best player of all time, and that's great. Yeah. I love him. He could spend his entire career with the Mavericks. I think Dirk is still going to be my favorite player, just because his off the court, his attitude, everything about Dirk is great.
Yeah. And, I even met him on my birthday a few years ago. And, he was just such, because I always, every game, I would always wait after the game and I would try to meet him, but I never could. And I finally got the chance to at it was like a autograph event. And, usually, whenever you meet, sometimes when people meet, they're their athlete, favorite athletes or whatever. And they're bad people or something like that. But he was really cool. And we talked for a second, and I was this is for sure my best player. But he's I think he'll mean more to more Mavs fans because of the road, the road he took, the 06 loss, the first round exits, the 67 win team, and then they lost to the Warriors first round.
The MVP, won the MVP that year. And then the legendary run of sweeping Kobe.
Yeah.
Sweeping Kobe's team, the defending champs, and then sweeping Durant, Russell Westbrook, and Harden. They didn't sweep them, but they beat them 4-1.
Beat them in 5,
and then beat the original big three. It's just, man, that's ridiculous. We need to do an episode on the Oklahoma City team, why they couldn't get it, figure that out.
Yeah, definitely should,
again, January 5th, if you want to get tickets and invite your favorite sports podcast host, whatever you want to do, listening to this show, let us know. I'm going to make myself available that day if you want me to tag along.
Right.
So now jump into you and your power rankings.
Okay. My power rankings, the Ross Power Rankings, are sponsored by Goodwin's Logistics. For your fast, efficient shipping needs, contact Goodwin's Logistics. The email is GoodwinsLogistics@outlook.com. So I did the top five. I just broke it to top five. I'm gonna start at the top. So number one, I have Tom Brady. It was hard to put him there, but
that's what you get. Like we were talking about with the Chiefs, If they win this game, they're going to be all the way back up there because there's a precedence for it. They have a history. So Tom Brady has two bad games and he could still be number one because it's Tom Brady. You know, it's not over. He's going to bounce back.
Yeah, he's going to bounce back. And, you know, I just have trust in him to be, you know, that person. Because, I mean, I don't know if what teams are better than Tampa. You know, I mean, Dallas, I personally feel like Dallas is at least a top two or top three team in the NFL right now. But, you know, I have Tom number one. Aaron Rodgers, I have him number two. Only because, you know, he can do so much with so little. And it's like the game comes so easy to him. And it hurts me because he's like my most hated athlete, you know, of all time. And, you know, he kills Dallas every time. But, you know, he does so much with so little. And, you know, they're a pretty good team in Green Bay. Definitely got to look out for him. So I have him number two. I have Dak number three. He's definitely bounced back the way I thought he would, way better than I thought he would, actually, you know, the team as well. But, you know, he's back to, because I think, you know, that Denver game, he was coming off 2 weeks of not playing, and he was pretty rusty coming off the calf, and he didn't look like himself, but he definitely bounced back in a big way. So I have him number three. I have Kyler number four, you know, just out of respect for, you know, the Cardinals and how good I think they are. I think they're, you know, still one of the best teams in the NFL. And, you know, he's leading the way with that. And then I have Patrick Mahomes at number five. And just going off of my respect for Patrick Mahomes. And I think he's the best quarterback in the league. And, you know, he's done so much in so little time. Like, he's still so young. And, like, he can make every throw. He can get out of the pocket and scramble. And, you know, the fact that the Cowboys have to face him this week is kind of like, you know, I'm definitely scared because you never know. They can put up 50 points. You never, like, you just never know. And that game against the Raiders, he just showed, you know, okay, this is who I am. This is Patrick Mahomes. And I just hope they didn't catch the full rhythm coming into the Cowboys game. But I have him at number five.
And how much this could change by the time we get back on here in a few weeks. Most teams will play two games, but the Cowboys will have three games before our next episode. Like I said, we're going to be off next week for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So going, you know, I don't want to skip past the Chiefs game. You know, that's obviously a very important game, but I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. If somehow, some way this episode travels to who it needs to travel to, and somebody high enough up in the Cowboys organization can pass on a message to Jerry Jones, like I said last week. Thanksgiving Day uniforms that need to be the classic blues with a white helmet.
Classic blues, white helmet.
Now that I know there were rules against wearing different helmets and the last few years, so you're wearing just your regular blue jerseys, whatever. No, nobody wants to see that.
We can pay the fine. Jerry's just up. He can pay the fine.
Yeah, no, they changed the rule this year. But at worst, their team's just re-decaling the same helmet. I don't know what's wrong with that. But come on. Bring back the classic blues for this week's or Thanksgiving. Well, that'll do it for us this week. So hopefully the Cowboys will be 3-0 this coming up. So we'll see y'all in 2 weeks.
All right. See you guys.